If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at different scriptures this morning, and on the back of your bulletin, you see an outline. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I was thinking about what was happening on Pentecost, which was 2 weeks ago today. I began writing. I thought about Pentecost is not just something that you can look at and say, oh, okay, we went from Christmas to Easter, from Easter to Pentecost, now what's next? It's not, I hope you don't do that. I know sometimes kids will do that. We have a grandson that's always about the next thing. You know, what's the next thing? We ride the car. Can we go shoot baskets? Can we ride the bike? Can we go play on the... And it's like the next thing. And please be careful. When you think about something like this, Pentecost, this thought of Pentecost, this is not just, okay, we did that. What's next? I was thinking about this, and maybe you've heard this question before. What would happen if Jesus had not come? I don't know if you ever think about that or not. I have those moments. As I was driving to the folks last Sunday afternoon, or a couple weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon, that question was resonating in my mind. That's why on that Monday I started writing. What if Jesus had not come? Because here's the deal. Jesus is the one, and it says in Colossians 1:16, it's like in Jesus, everything is held together. I don't know if you think about that or not. In Jesus, everything is held together. Years ago, there was a Christmas card that came out. It was a pastor. This Christmas card was one of those story cards. It was a pastor that had fallen asleep on a Sunday morning. He'd gotten up, prayed, had a little coffee, and then fell back to sleep. He had a dream. And in this dream, Jesus had not come. It was Christmas time. It was the Sunday before, and everything was primed and ready for the Christmas sermon, the Christmas carols, the Christmas lights were on, and the decorations were all up. And in this dream, though, Jesus had not come. He got scared. He looked up from his desk in the dream, and there were no decorations in his office. He walked into the living room. There was no tree. There was no garland. He went outside. There were no lights. There was nothing. He lived next door to the church. He went to the church, and nothing. He was scared. In this dream, he got a phone call. Somebody said, Pastor, I've got a friend that's sick. I need you to come visit them. Don't know that they're going to make it. He grabbed his Bible, went to the friend's house, opened it up to some scripture, and it was only half there. It stopped at Malachi. He couldn't look in the teachings of Jesus and offer any hope. Sure enough, the person died a couple days later. This is still in this nightmare of a dream. He's there, and he's opening up the Bible, and he's going to talk about John chapter. It's not there. There's no, I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to take you to be with me. That it was not there. Finally, he woke up from the nasty nightmare of a dream because he could hear across the parking lot the choir was already there practicing. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. So the question is, what would our world be like if Jesus had not come? I don't know if you ever think about that. Would he be missed if he had not come? Would our lives be different? Would we miss a beat? What would our life even look like if he had not come? And I don't know if you do this or not, I get lost on YouTube. It's pretty safe for the most part. But I'll go on there and I want to hear something that Francis Chan has done or Max Lucado or some other preacher, teacher. And I'll be on, and then over to the side in YouTube, they have these other videos. And they usually have a little kind of a hook to grab you. Bill Maher gets taken to school by a Christian author. I'm like, oh, this sounds good. So I click on that. And I didn't read. Bill Maher has this program. And Bill Maher, if you want to describe an atheist, what does an atheist look like in the year 2019? Next to that, in Wikipedia, would be a picture of Bill Maher, okay? He's just he enjoys being an atheist. I didn't realize it. He loves to have Christians on his show, kind of like the Lion's Den, you know, let's just let him have it. And he just tries to tear him up left and right. And this guy had written a book about Christians, and he really did a wonderful job, honestly, taking Bill Maher to the woodshed. And, of course, he's cynical, he's evil, and I thought about Bill Maher, and it's like God just got on my heart, what are you going to do to reach Bill Maher? I'm like, what? But then I had this other thought. If I am not living my life as a follower of Jesus, if I am not so consumed in the Word and in prayer and living my life for Him throughout the week, what makes me look different?
Right, amen.
than Bill Maher. If I'm not in church, if I'm not just growing and studying and pushing on the journey of faith, what makes me different than him? The good news is, as that preacher woke up, the scripture he was going to use that morning was this, the angel, Luke 2:10-11. The angel said, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be all for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." That's the deal. That's the deal. Jesus did come. Jesus did come. Without him, everything falls apart, but he did come. Let me just give you four things that we would miss. You have your outline there. If Jesus had not come. First thing is over in Genesis. If Jesus didn't come, we wouldn't know about God's faithfulness. It says in Genesis 3:15 about this thought that this fulfillment, the one that he made about Eve, that the offspring of Eve would crush the head of the serpent. God's faithfulness. If Jesus hadn't come, we wouldn't even know about that. And so when we face situations day in and day out, whether they be turmoil in here, turmoil with family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, we would not know about God is faithful in the midst of all that. The second thing is this, if Jesus didn't come, we wouldn't know about his love. His love. The Bible says, "Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." See, Jesus came along and turned that telescope opposite. Because we're looking at everything through that scope and making judgment calls, and Jesus turned around and says, "Guess what? Look at me, and you will see love. His full love. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When we were living in that sinful state of total depravity, disobedience, Jesus came, lived, taught, died, rose again. The fullness of his love. Another thing is we would not know the compassion, his compassion toward us. Hebrews, it says, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Propitiation, one of those big high dollar words, which basically means the complete substitute. When Jesus came and lived and died on the cross, we didn't have to worry about this, 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 and this, because the propitiation meant he took care of it all. Amen. He took care of it all. But does Jesus know about what I'm thinking right now? He took care of that. Yes. The question is, are we going to let him have that? Right. It's not an issue of whether or not he can. It's an issue of whether or not we're going to release him to let him have that. So his compassion toward us went all the way. Jesus was made like us in every respect, took all our weakness, our temptation, our suffering, that he would be that advocate, that merciful advocate for you and for me. He's our advocate. Sometimes we get lonely. It was interesting. I was having a very meaningful conversation with a fellow pastor this week, and he said, "You know, we live in a society in a time where there are more safety measures than ever." He and I had a couple young men that we took to a baseball game, and when we all got in the vehicle, we didn't have to say, "Fasten your seatbelt." They just knew, "Fasten your seatbelt." He said, if those guys got on bicycles, they just know, "Put on your helmet." I mean, there's all these safeguards in place. He said, "You know something I think about? With all this stuff in our society that helps us feel safer, 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 you notice there's a rise also of depression and suicidal tendencies. Because we're looking at those items, seatbelts and helmets, which are not bad. Please use them. It's just we're looking at those things as our advocate, as the one that is our propitiation so I don't get in trouble. But it doesn't take care of what's in here." Amen. That's what Jesus came to do, was to take care of this stuff in here, his compassion. And the fourth thing is, if Jesus didn't come, we wouldn't know about his death. His life-giving resurrection. We share the elements, the communion elements, because it says, guess what? The deal is complete. The deal is complete. There would be no salvation for sinners. But it says in Romans 5:10, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more will we be reconciled by his life? Wow. So that's the thought I had about what if Jesus didn't come. Now, the next question I thought of after that question, because it just bids the question, okay, if Jesus didn't come, what if the Holy Spirit, that's why we talk about Pentecost, what if the Holy Spirit had not come? We have a complete article of faith in the Church of the Nazarene that goes something like this. It's Article 10. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead. He is ever present and efficiently active in and with the church of Jesus, convincing the world of sin. This is right out of Scripture. Convincing the world of sin, regenerating those who repent and believe, sanctifying believers, and guiding us into all truth as it is in Jesus. Scriptures to follow. What if the Holy Spirit had not come? Favorite movie of all time? Many of you know, for me, It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey, as he's going through life and all the pressures of life start piling up and piling up and piling up, he reaches the end of himself and he wakes up and he's just, everything's just falling apart. Uncle Billy lost the $8,000, which in today's world would be probably about, you know, $150,000 or whatever. But anyway, he loses that and George has just had enough. He's choking Uncle Billy. I'm like, don't choke Uncle Billy. He's not that bad of a guy. But anyway, and then he runs off and he messes up things at home and he gets in the car, drives into a tree, goes to the bridge and he makes that infamous statement, I wish I'd never been born. And so the angels are listening. There it is. We're going to grant your wish. You've never been born. And so he goes through life as if he hadn't been born. It was interesting. All the terrible things that took place in the world because he hadn't been born. I hear guys talk about that, that kind of we look back and say, well, I wish I wouldn't have sold that car. You know, they got some car from the 60s or 70s. Like, man, I wish I would have kept that car, you know. Or I wish I wouldn't have left that job. Wish I would have kept that job. Wish. Sometimes we say things like this. I wish I wouldn't have said that. You ever do that? Wish I wouldn't have said, if I could just take those words back. Or maybe a sport we wish we could have tried along the way. My favorite is this one. This is mine. If I could go back in time, I would invest in Apple. See, people that are time travelers, if I could go back, I'd find a cure for this, or I would fix world and world peace. No, I would invest in Apple, okay? That I just got to tell you. But I would take piano lessons, all these things we talk about. But what about the Holy Spirit? What if the Holy Spirit had not come? I wouldn't be here. This church wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. The Word wouldn't be here. I would have never met Janie. I wouldn't be a preacher. None of these things. What about our country? Next Sunday, we're going to have the patriotic celebration. And I'm big on that. Not because it's some nationalistic thing we're going to do, but because in the midst of our history, which is being overlooked, in the midst of our history, there were godly people who risked everything to come to this soil because of an obedient spirit to God calling them from Holland and other places to come and share in this masterful experience and to learn and discover freedom. Freedom. And we live in a time where people are trying to take that freedom and twist it around. And I don't know if you, no, I'm not even going to go there, but it's just that issue that the Holy Spirit, let me get back to what I need to be talking about, the Holy Spirit right here, right now. What if the Holy Spirit was not at work in your life? I wonder sometimes. We have these conversations, you know. Well, I believe this, and if it's not true, I've been a better person. But if it is true, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. We make these statements, and we miss what, to me, is the most vital, central core of our faith, and that is Jesus has come, and the Holy Spirit has come. A couple weeks ago, we watched a video about the coming of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't get away from it, so I kept watching it again and again after last Sunday. I wrote down this. Listen carefully. After the Holy Spirit came, the author, the speaker in that little video clip said this. Listen carefully. Don't let this powerful gift remain dormant in your life. Amen. Listen to it. Learn from it. Step out in faith. Listen to it. Learn from it. Step out in faith. Here's what I see Scripture saying. When we come to Jesus, when we accept Christ into our lives as our Savior, when we start walking this walk, it was so cute the other day, I saw this saying, I can walk the walk, but don't ask me to jog the jog or run the run. That was really good. So anyway, some of you can relate, don't ask me to run the run, but I can walk the walk. So as we're walking the walk, the Spirit, as we come to Jesus, the Spirit is put into your life and my life, it says in Scripture, as a deposit.
Yes, that's right.
As a deposit. He's placed there. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know what, this issue came up. It may be some kind of tumor or some kind of other thing. And they say, well, we believe it's been in their body. It's been dormant there for a number of years, and it finally just showed up. Sometimes it's serious. Sometimes they don't even think anything about it. it's a growth plate issue or something else. It's been dormant there and now it just came around, and either you take care of it or you don't. The Holy Spirit, when you come to Jesus, is put inside of us as a deposit.
Amen.
And He is there. And He's there and He's ready. At the end of the video clip, I love it. They quoted Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And then on that day of Pentecost that we celebrated 2 weeks ago, Peter is preaching about Jesus, and he gives this powerful message. I've been there, I've heard it, given by our tour guide. And then it says, and that day 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus. Don't forget, the Holy Spirit has come.
Amen.
I've got a lot more to preach. I'm really excited. I had a dream myself the other night. That it was Sunday morning, and it was about 20 minutes after 10, and I was done. And everybody looked at me like, what next? I'm like, I don't know, it's only 20 after 10. So we're at 11 o'clock, and there's more to come. Here we go, are you? I don't know if you ever have these dreams. But let me just share with you about the next 10, maybe 15 minutes at the most, the serious need for the Holy Spirit, okay? I did a funeral a couple weeks ago. I talked to Janie afterward on the way home. I said, you know, sometimes when I do a funeral, I feel like I'm a lawyer, and the people in the parlor there are the jury, and it's my responsibility to convince the jury of innocence or guilt. Yeah. And you know, I'm thinking about this as a preacher. I am a lawyer, and I am here to convince you this morning. You're the jury. I'm here to convince you this morning. It's not about the tie, the shirt, the lights, the sound, or anything like that. It's I'm here to convince you for the need of the Holy Spirit in your life. The third person of the Trinity, co-equal with the Father and the Son. Not a mist, not a cloud, not even a strange feeling. He does have feelings, just like you and me. He can be grieved. He's sensitive and compassionate. Powerful, mighty, and get this, He is the change agent in our world. Think about that. People talk about being a change agent. And that's something that when kids graduate from high school or college or they get into the workforce, it's like, you can be a change agent for your society, for your family. The Holy Spirit. I'm borrowing thoughts, and I don't know if I put it in here or not. Yes, by Jennifer LeClaire. You can go back and look at the whole article if you'd like. And the title of the article is 5 Reasons Why You Need More of the Holy Ghost. I thought it was good. Good title. So let me just give you these this morning, okay? Thank you, Jennifer. The Holy Spirit gives you supernatural power.
Yes, He does.
He gives you power to witness. A lot of times, like, well, I don't think I could talk to my family about this, or my coworker, or my neighbor, or whoever, about this Jesus stuff. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to help you do that.
Amen.
To help you witness. Our evangelist, and if you can go there tonight, 6 o'clock at the camp meeting in Shiloh, he's amazing. Dr. Warwick, former general superintendent. He was telling the other night of a lady in his church, he'd done her funeral, and he said at the funeral, there were her kids and her grandkids and their kids and all this whole delegation of people. And it was because of her life in Jesus, which did not start out well. When she and her husband were first married, they fought like cats and dogs. Or cats and cats. Cats and dogs really don't fight that much. But cats and cats can really fight. And they would throw things and they would curse and neighbors could hear them. And it was just, but she came to faith in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit over time got a hold of her life. And as a result, here she is in the casket in front of a sanctuary. And there are family members and grandkids and great-grandkids. All because of what Jesus did. The Holy Spirit gives us power, supernatural power, to witness. I heard an evangelist say it years ago. He says, when my funeral is preached, he said this, I don't want him to talk so much about my experience in college as a football player, although I did real well, he said. I don't want to talk so much about, and he's just listed all these accomplishments in his life as an event where he preached all these places and all these. He said, I want them to say he knew Jesus.
Yes, amen.
And that was it. He said, he lived a Christian life. I'm thinking about that. It's like, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for each of us.
Amen.
To help us with that supernatural power. Why not cry and pray and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. And if you've already filled me, fill me again. And if you've already prayed that, pray it again. Second thing is this. The Holy Spirit gives us supernatural gifts. Sometimes in different denominations, and I won't go off on this tangent, we get a little bit edgy about the gifts, you know. Well, some over here will emphasize more of those gifts that follow a charismatic nature. Some will follow those gifts that have more of a service nature. Some will follow, and they just have their different purposes. We're not here to delineate this, that, and the other. We just need to know who's the giver of the gifts.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts. It says there are various gifts, but the same capital S Spirit.
Yes.
Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Various operations, but the same God. Do you see a pattern? Same Holy Spirit, same Lord, same
yes.
God.
Yes.
He wants to give us gifts. When he lives on the inside of you, there are things that he will allow you to do for the glory of God.
Yes.
For the glory of God. Things that you, every one of us has gifts that we can do. If you don't know what those are, talk to me later. I'll pray with you. And I just pray that God, I mean, I can look and see gifts in different people. It may not be God's gift. I see you using those gifts, but God has gifts for all of us,
yes.
You know, gifts and talents that will help glorify him. Don't miss it. The Holy Spirit gives us supernatural gifts. I love this third one. The Holy Spirit helps build our faith. That is so important. Faith is never stagnant. Please remember that. Okay? I don't know of very many airplanes that can just fly without anybody doing anything. You know, you just get, I know there's autopilot, but still you have to have a little gas in the tank. Or as they've designed this new one in Israel, you have to have some electricity somewhere stored up in a battery. But the thing is, you have to keep moving or else it's going to descend. The same thing with our faith. I loved it the other night. The evangelist was talking about this. He said, listen, he said, your faith is like an appetite. You need to have an appetite. If you like you're eating, he said, when you go through your life day by day, you have an appetite. And you like different foods and you satisfy that appetite. Spiritually, it should be the same thing. The Holy Spirit helps build our faith. The evangelist said this. He says, the thing is, if you don't have an appetite, you're either sick or you're dying. Or you're dead. No food trucks in cemeteries. Physically, same thing spiritually. If we're in Jesus and the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, he's going to help us have an appetite for the word, for being with fellow believers. I just sat in Sunday school this morning. I was just thinking, just reflecting on all these people in the Sunday school class. I just love seeing them, being with them. I walked by Brenda's class. It was so awesome. To see Minnie here and her daughter, just different ones, and John and Virginia's daughter here. It's just this is awesome. To be with the family. That just, you know, these people are hungry. And the Holy Spirit continues to help us. He builds us up and he calls us to pray in the Spirit. I love it. This lady that wrote this, I'll just tell you some little I don't know what you call it, just a little inside information. She's charismatic, okay? Which doesn't bother me at all, okay? Because I love the passion and the excitement and the charismatic family. Yes! She says this, I pray in the Spirit for at least 30 minutes a day, and I pray in the Spirit that it would spurt out through the day. That he would spurt out through the day. Number four, the Holy Spirit gives life and strength to our bodies. And I know sometimes physically we're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I need some strength right now. Take away these red eyes and these sore legs. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He who raised Jesus from the dead also will give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit, capital S, who lives in you. I just can't get over the fact, and Paul talks about this, the same power, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Can you imagine the days Jesus was dead and in the grave? It wasn't like me taking a Sunday afternoon nap. We're talking days he was dead and gone. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus, capital S, wants to live in our bodies and give us strength. That's number four. Number five, the Holy Spirit, listen carefully, because we're surrounded by this, the Holy Spirit helps us resist temptation. It says in Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit, capital S, you will put to death the deeds of the body and you will live. Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Kind of refers back to Sunday school. If you're struggling with temptation, the Holy Spirit will help you. Wow. And then she goes on and says, take time and meditate on these realities. They will revolutionize your life. And if you've never been filled with the Spirit, which I would say if the Spirit has not been unleashed in your life, pray that that will happen right now. The bottom line is this. I thought about doing this, but I'm not. Just imagine with me, okay? There's a chair. We had this in our Sunday school class, had a good life lesson from that. If I had a chair up here, here's the deal. We're going to play musical chairs. One chair, two people. You ever watch musical chairs? A lot of times when the basketball players have their annual basketball dinner over here, one of the games they play year after year is musical chairs. And they usually have the seniors and their parents, you know, or the seniors and somebody else because one of the parents doesn't want to do it. And so anyway, they're up there playing musical chairs. And when you get down to, it's not too bad when you have like six chairs and seven people, but when you get down to one chair and two people, that's like, it doesn't make a difference if you're male, female, tall, short, skinny, thick. It's wild. Who's going to get the last chair? I've seen ladies that I thought didn't have a mean bone in their body literally just kick these big guys out of the way. And of course, the guys are trying to be kind, and they're hurting too, so they do fall over. But here's the deal. With the Holy Spirit in your life, it's like there's one chair, okay? There's one chair. And the question is the Holy Spirit going to be able to sit on that chair all the time? Right. Are you going to continue to fight the Holy Spirit for that chair? That's serious business, folks.
That's right.
I promise you, if we will allow the Holy Spirit, if we call it Jesus being Lord, and the way that's lived out because of now the Holy Spirit descending and filling the followers of Jesus, it's Him being on the throne all the time. I'm thankful you're here this morning. I listened to Tony Evans a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about Moses out on the backside of the wilderness and how God met and called and spoke and directed Moses about the next phase of his life. And Tony, as only Tony could do, he says, you know what? God was able to do that because Moses was in a right place where he could listen to God. And when he was in the right place, God spoke the right word. You guys are in the right place this morning to hear the word. You're in the right place to hear the word. Not what I'm saying, but prayerfully what the Holy Spirit is saying. What the Holy Spirit says, that's the deal. He helps me to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, who had his eyes fixed on God, the author and finisher of his faith, who for the race set before him ran. You're here in that place. Can I encourage you this morning with all that's in me? Listen to the Holy Spirit. And like I read a while ago, I'm going to say it one more time. Don't let this powerful gift remain dormant in your life. Listen to it, learn from it, step out in faith. Let's stand this morning and bow our heads for a moment of prayer. I'm going to ask you this morning with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you want to come and pray and just say, you know what, Jim, I know the Holy Spirit's in there, but I've been battling and sitting on that chair. I need Him to sit on the chair once and for all, and I need to be the student, and He needs to be the teacher. He wants to be the teacher.
Yes, He does.
It says there in John chapters 14 and 16, this idea that He would come and remind us of all the things Jesus taught us. He would come and convince the world, convict the world of sin. And He would be inside of us to guide us along God's path for our life. Is the Holy Spirit on the throne of your life? Do you want to come pray about this morning? Feel free to step out this morning with while Lorraine plays a little bit. Maybe you want to come down here and just pray. Kneel at the altar, sit on the front pew and just say, you know what? I just need the Holy Spirit to take over completely. Gives you power to witness, keeps you from temptation, builds your faith up. Helps you to know what gifts God has for you. I know what the gifts are that God has for me, and I'm grateful every day as I see those gifts lived out in my life. I'm excited every day, not just because I'm a happy guy. I'll tell you what, before I came to know Jesus, I had a lot of friends, but I was a miserable guy. I was a hateful guy. I had a lot of garbage in there. I tried to be everybody's best friend, but the fact that Jesus wasn't in me, I couldn't do any of that. And so all that came out was not reflecting Jesus. But the thing is, with the Holy Spirit available, if you're in Jesus, the Holy Spirit's available to come and to not only come, He's already there. He's wanting to just explode out of your life. He wants to explode out of your life. I hear preachers sometimes, they'll say things like this. He'll take you places where you've never been. He'll help you do things you've never done. And they're just kind of helping you get a format and a mindset, which is good. But let me tell you what's underneath the surface. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will take you places you never dreamed of. The Holy Spirit will help you accomplish things you never thought you could do. And what is it all about? Letting Him be in the chair. Anybody else want to come pray this morning? Is the Holy Spirit rightfully on the throne? Is he just, maybe this is a question for you, is he laying dormant in your life and you need to let him come alive? Anybody else want to come pray? Maybe you want to come and pray needs around us. I know we've had a lot of people that have been in and out of the hospital, some that are in nursing homes. It's just, maybe you want to come and represent someone else. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for these that have responded. Thank you, Jesus, for having us in a place, your house this morning, where we can hear your voice and we can, whether it's through the beautiful music played by a flute and a piano or a special or the worship group or a sermon. Jesus, help us, I pray. Help us, I pray, to allow the Holy Spirit to come alive, not just to be some dormant gift that just kind of lays there, but the Holy Spirit, the power, the presence, and the person of the Holy Spirit can come alive. Do it, I pray. Do it, I pray. Thank you for these that have come to pray. Meet with every need around these altars. Meet with every need in the sanctuary. Meet with our children in kids' church and be in the nursery, all the different places of ministry this morning. And be glorified, we pray. Be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen.